globally, we're very focused on the carbon tunnel. People are very aware of our obligations around reducing our emissions, but chemical pollution is an equal priority. So climate change, biodiversity loss, and chemical pollution are elevated to the same level in terms of a triple planetary crisis.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
It's great to be here today. I'm Lauren Walsh, one of the development guides with Coralis, and I'm very excited to have Kate Bromfield here as well, CEO of Hazel. Hazel is a venture with Coralis, and great to be here today with you, Kate. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Lauren. It's my pleasure to be talking to you.
And I have the privilege of actually having met you when we were in Auckland and we did the venture retreat, and so it's great to reconnect. And I'd love for you to share a bit about your background, who you are, tell us more about Hazel, and specifically where you are in the process of building your venture.
Great, thank you. So awesome introduction. I am CEO and founder of Hazard Evaluation, and we build simple tools that help people with their chemical risk management. I came to the idea a long time ago now, in 2018. I was working for the chemical regulator here in New Zealand and also had a job in Australia for doing the same thing, working in chemical regulation and chemical risk management. And it was my job to work out how to advise the regulator where they should prioritize their time and money in terms of taking chemicals off the market. Which ones are the most dangerous and which ones should they really think about making sure the public aren't exposed to anymore? But there's no easy way to decide where you should funnel your very limited taxpayer resources. So I came up with a model in my mind for how we could do that, and I built it in Excel to see whether or not that would work. And in about 2020, somebody introduced me to my co-founder, an amazing IT guy called Richard Coomber, and he had all of the experience that would take us from ideas in my head and an Excel spreadsheet into an actual SaaS platform. So that we have a single point of entry where people can go in and assess and evaluate their chemical portfolios and start to make decisions around which ones are most dangerous and which ones might they want to start reducing the use of. And we quickly realized that this was not just a regulatory tool, this was actually a tool for everybody. So we're all about promoting transparency in the chemical supply chain and reducing chemical harm.
That's so needed. Kate, can you give us a case study just to really bring this alive? How would you work with one of your clients? I know you and I have been in discussion around getting you ready for conferences where you're going to meet potential customers and really help them understand, you know, what is the value of Hazel? Why do they need it? What differentiates Hazel from any other software that they would be using? But to just make this, you know, really pop for everyone, can you share with us, to whatever extent you feel comfortable, a case study, like a client that you're working with now, and how this actually helped them make decisions?
Yes, we have a client who works in food manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to know, out of all of the products that we are spraying on our production lines, which ones should we start to think about not using? And their board is very motivated, very progressive, I would say, in that sense of saying we want to know what the risks to our workers are and what the risks to the environment are. When I first met with them, they said, we've been using formaldehyde for 20 years to do this particular job, and we've never had a problem, but actually we want to assure ourselves whether or not we can keep using this in this circumstance for the next 20 plus years, or whether or not we should think about something else that could do the same job. So we started with them on a very simple audit of everything they're using to do fumigation or cleaning products within their food manufacturing processes. And from there, we generate a board report that goes to the board. The board can consider all of those risks. and then come back to us. And we're at the stage now where we're starting to talk about product substitution. Which ones might you want to consider removing from this supply chain, from this manufacturing process? And then you get into a whole cost benefit analysis about product alternatives. But that's the next step, and that's what we're up to.
And is your software going to assist them with those decisions as well currently?
Not currently. In the future, yes. I currently have a postdoc and a new grant in the pipeline to look really specifically at that problem. Because at the moment, we stop at the bit where we say, you might want to swap out product A with product B. So we've made that recommendation. What happens next is currently up to the client. But I want that to be a little bit more nuanced, and I want us to be able to provide better assistance in that space. So 2024 will be about researching and developing ways to actually look at chemical sustainability metrics.
That's exciting.
Yes.
So if that's coming, and you're working on that, what challenges have you experienced in the entrepreneurship journey?
Well, I think the largest challenge for me on this journey is making people understand how important this is. We globally, this is a global problem. We're very focused on the carbon tunnel. People are very aware of our obligations around reducing our emissions. But chemical pollution is an equal priority. So climate change, biodiversity loss, and chemical pollution are elevated to the same level in terms of a triple planetary crisis. And I struggle with getting people to understand that we can't just deal with one spoke of that wheel. We need to be dealing with all three. So that is what keeps me awake at night.
So it sounds as if there's an educational component in this, in really helping your potential identified customers really understand the level of urgency and importance in that trifecta you were talking about. Have you experienced also, is there any pushback? What does that look like?
Yes. So I was talking to a potential client recently, and they said, oh, that's great, but we're probably 5 years off having to implement what you're suggesting, because we're just not facing enough pressure to do that now. And I thought, why not be one of the early movers? Why not actually take the lead in this space? Why, I don't understand why some corporations are choosing to be laggards and saying, we'll wait till we really have to before we do this. But I mean, the other side of that is there are really some early adopters who see it and get it and are champions for the cause. And if you look at the EU Green Deal, I think that that's a huge, huge movement that acknowledges the responsibility of all people to protect our natural capital. So that's a big lever in our favor.
Yeah, and I'm reminded of many of our ventures are needing to focus on the policies that need to change at the global and national level, so to speak, at the same time as their products addressing the solution. And so to whatever extent, our Corliss community can be apprised of that, we want to stand up for that as well in terms of really wherever we have leverage points, I think is really important to understand that we're in this with you and that we have to continuously help whoever our stakeholders are understand that trifecta. Because you're right. Right now, it's a carbon discussion. Globally. And we're also interested in what your journey has been like in the Corliss community. We had our kickoff in November, late October. And how has your experience been thus far?
I'm going to have to say great, really great. So the kickoff was, I didn't know what to expect. I don't think anybody knew what to expect. We're walking a bit blind into that. And probably, I don't know if the others felt the same way, but thinking, do I really have the time to make a weekend away from my family to go and spend with people? I actually don't know. And at the end of the weekend, I thought, I wouldn't have missed this. And what can I do to help you? And how do I help people in future? Because cementing those relationships, I think we'll be friends for life.
Oh, that is so great to hear.
Even if we don't be in touch, as we vowed to be in touch every month, and we haven't had time to follow through with that, but I don't have any concerns about that, because I think We're a little pocket here in New Zealand who are really here for each other. Mm-hmm. So that bit's great. But actually the most valuable bit is working with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. What has been valuable for you in the coaching process?
In the coaching process. So I had dinner with a friend last night and I was telling her about my coaching process with you. And I said, I went over to the US and I had to present it at what amounted to a very intimidating, not conference, but summit.
Well, I will vouch because you had some heavy hitters at that conference.
Yes.
And who were also your target customers.
Who are my target market and made me very nervous. So it was intimidating. And I'm not one to be intimidated, but I really wanted to get this right. Yeah. And so you worked with me in that coaching process. And we practiced and we talked through how you do this. And then Liz Mitchell, who is one of my fellow Coralis Ventures this year, she works in fashion and mm-hmm. she rang me up and she dressed me, which was just amazing. So supportive that she'd even thought about, you're going to be standing there and I want to make sure that you look the part, and Lauren's going to make sure that you're talking the part. Then I walked into my session and I just hit it out of the park. When I walked off that stage, I really felt like I just walked in and went bang.
Yes.
And everybody's face in the audience was going, yep.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I've never walked out of a conference or a presentation before where I have felt that well prepared and that well presented and that well connected with my audience. And I think that that was the coaching I received leading up to it. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. And from there, you've actually had some follow-on conversations,
which is the
goal of always showing up in these stressful circumstances and presenting.
Indeed, we're going through an NDA process with one of the targets from that meeting at the moment. So that's really great.
That's great.
They invited me to present a webinar, which was last Friday, to that wider group as well.
Excellent.
So then, of course, I had to have coaching, Lauren, in how to present a webinar. So I took all of your notes and practice, worked through my PESEL analysis and making sure I was dropping the right keywords in and that I was speaking to everybody in the room from a range of different angles. And after that, I didn't have the sense that I absolutely smashed that out of the park. But I think that's because it was an online webinar. So you don't get the same physical look of being
able
to see
your face. Very difficult
to know. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I pressed leave at the end of that session and just sat there and all my dopamine had gone. I was just so flat, just going, huh. I don't know if that was good or bad. I don't know. And they've sent me the recording of it and I haven't been brave enough to look at it yet.
Well, that we'll do that together. webinars, they are a beast. And yet this is the world we live in, right? So, but the good news is there are ways of increasing your impact with webinars and we'll do that. We'll absolutely do that. And it's very common to feel that level of deflation afterwards. Because it's surprising when at least you're face to face and up in front of you had hundreds of people, right? Didn't you at in front
yes.
of you? That could be very daunting. And yet, as myself included, presenting to large audiences of 500 and above, I'm always amazed at how energized I am afterwards instead
yes.
of depleted. And yet
yes.
you can have an audience of 30 on a webinar and feel like you've just been through the ringer. So it's We all experience the same thing. That's the challenge, but we'll work through it. And it is still a sales channel.
It is. And I had great questions. And in fact, when I think about it, I think that the follow-up is as good as I could have expected.
Yes.
So nobody's come back and said, well, your webinar was terrible. I wish I hadn't come to that. What they have said is, can we organize a beta testing group? And I thought that's probably the win that I could expect from this.
That's a great outcome. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. It's a great next step. Which leads me to my final question, which is, what's next for Hazel in the sense of what would a great 2024 look like for you?
So I have a couple of really great R&D projects in mm-hmm. the pipeline. I want to take on a new student to do. I think when I first joined Coralis, I talked about our impact tool, which has turned out to be much more complicated than I had thought. Of course it has. Now I feel really naive. Of course it's turned out to be really complicated. And it's a bit of a holy grail in chemical management. How do we actually do that? So 2024, we'll be looking at the levers that you can turn on and off in terms of sustainable chemistry and helping clients to make those decisions around reducing chemical harm without any regrettable substitutions. I hadn't really factored in the idea that if you stop using product A and you promote the use of product B, what are the other environmental effects that you will need? So it's a bigger project than I had thought, and that will be a huge success. I have another R&D project working with our Indigenous people here in New Zealand, looking at how to include native and valued species into our framework. And if we can achieve that, that will be a world first in terms of including those native and valued species, things that are used in cultural practices, and including that Indigenous voice in chemical decision making.
Oh, that sounds really exciting.
So I've got two big milestones in terms of R&D. We have a bunch of travel planned. And of course, sales milestones. There's always sales milestones, but we have a much more healthy sales pipeline with those conversations happening now than we did have in October when I first met Eli.
Oh, well, this is great. And I can't wait to hear all the details. So Kate, in closing, if people want to learn more, where should they go? How can they contact you?
Great. Just go to our website, which is chemhazel.com, chemhazel.com. And all of the information is there. You can book time to see me. My Calendly calendar is in there. If you want to talk to me, then book a session and talk to me directly. Otherwise, just connect or email me, and I'm really happy to talk to people. It's a passion project.
Excellent. Wonderful. Okay, so hopefully you will be hearing from folks.
Great. I hope so too.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a joy to connect with you, hear more about Hazel. And just want to say on behalf of the Corliss community that we are really honored to support a trailblazer like yourself. And one of the last things I just wanted to mention is that you didn't really say all that much about your background, but you have a PhD. So when you're up on platform, you are speaking from the perspective, the scientific perspective, fair to say, and have been working in government for quite some time with a lot of prestige behind you. So again, it's just wonderful to have you in the community. And my last point is that it's really powerful for us to hear the connections that are happening in New Zealand with our Indigenous founders, as well as others like yourself, because we're finding that these perspectives are truly the future when we bring together all the various diversity. We just want to say thank you to you for that as well.
Oh, no, thank you too for shining the light on that. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.corliss.world.